Yeah, so in order to be able to close, we have to be better at opening. And so one of the key things we have to do at the beginning of the sale is we have to understand what the prospect's buying motivation is, and if they're at the point that they're ready to make a change now.
Hello and welcome to Inside Selling. This is Liston, your host, and I am here with Josh Braun. Josh, how are you today?
Liston, my friend, nice to hear from you again. It's been at least 15 minutes since we've spoken.
Or seconds, or 15 fractions of a second, but it's good to talk to you again. And today, Josh, we have more fan mail. Actually, this is your fan mail. We just can't keep them away from you. They just want so much Josh Braun that we can't keep up.
And by fan mail, we're referring to one person that keeps writing questions. Just for clarity.
Thank you, Ryan Hoke. And I hope I got that correct this time. I think he corrected me in email. He said I was good on one of the attempts. But Ryan essentially wants to know, Josh, how can he accelerate the speed of his deals closing? Now, we hear this question in various different ways, and often it comes down to, or people are asking about specific tactics, but really all they want to know is, how can I accelerate my deals? And I think you may have a counterintuitive answer for that.
Yeah, so let's, as we always do, let's start a little bit with intent and mindset stuff, right? So philosophically, you can't accelerate a sale because people buy for their reasons and on their timeline, not yours. So as a sales professional, you can help guide or steer the car, but you can't step on the gas.
Right.
The prospect gets to decide whether they want to speed or step on the gas. The only thing you can do is help to guide them. So philosophically, I just want to get aligned here that you can't accelerate, nor can you sell. People have to want to buy on their timeline and for their reasons.
Now, Josh, just to continue with this driving metaphor, because we should talk about it more. Now, you can't step on the gas, but you can take a wrong turn, or you can go the long way, right? So part of our job is to make sure that we don't take a wrong turn or go the long way. And so it's not as if you can get there faster than the driver wants you to get there, but you can navigate wrong. And so that's going to be part of this discussion.
Totally excellent analogy, right? So as a sales professional, you are there to guide your prospect to better. And sometimes better is with you, and sometimes better is sticking with what they have. So you are their GPS, and your prospect gets to decide every time they speak with you if they want you to continue to be their guide. Much like if you were going on a series of dates with someone, and they get to decide if they want to continue going out with you. And we can certainly talk about how to guide someone in a way that doesn't get them on the long and windy path to achieving better, which I think is the purpose of what we want to talk about today. All right, Liston?
Yeah, exactly. So when we talk about accelerating a deal and getting it to close faster, when does that exercise start? Does that start after the demo, during the demo, you know, when you first find them on LinkedIn, when they first reach out to you? Like, how do I start to think about accelerating this deal and when I focus that effort?
Yeah, so in order to be able to close, we have to be better at opening. And so one of the key things we have to do at the beginning of the sale is we have to understand what the prospect's buying motivation is, and if they're at the point that they're ready to make a change now. So very early on in the conversation, we have to be very curious. And we might ask them, you know, I know I reached out to you, but what is it that prompted you to jump on the call with me today? This is a very good question to see where they are in their consideration set, because they may be completely happy and intent with what they're currently doing and really just there to see what's around and have no intent of buying right away. So this first initial question, you're there to get a sense of what kind of energy are they giving you back when they respond to that question. That's one of the first questions I would ask to get a sense of where they are and what events are happening in their world that's prompting them to reach out. So they might say, oh my God, we have been looking for 6 months. We are trying to get more people to convert into customers on our website. We've tried A, B, C, D, E, and F, and we are at our wit's end, and we need to do this immediately because we're under the gun to hit our revenue goals. this is somebody that is much further along in their shopping or their buying experience than someone says, I don't know, you just reached out to me and it looks like something we might, you know, be interested in looking at, you know, 6 or 7 months from now, but right now we're happy.
Yeah. And one thing that happens when you ask questions like that is not only do you learn a tremendous amount and you, the seller, you get to shut up and listen for a while, which is really important, but it's creating something that people will stick to, which is consistency of their own words, right? So we've talked about Cialdini's work in Influence, or I think 50 Ways to Yes is kind of the pop version of that book. But one thing that happens during that time is when people make a statement about what their promise or their problem is. So like you said, Josh, if we ask the question, what prompted you to reach out, or what is it that's going on right now that makes this the right time to talk about this? They're going to want to be consistent with what they said, and it becomes a reference point for us and for them.
Totally. And so if you think about your role as a sales professional, it's sort of part curiosity person, like you're a consultant, you're trying to understand and guide. And then you're also going to be at some point when we talk about acceleration, you're going to be a project manager. We're going to talk a little bit about this because eventually we're going to sort of get them to commit to when they want to have this happen. So one of the next questions I might ask in the sales conversation, or another key question, is this one that a lot of sales reps just don't ask. And it's such a simple one, which is this something you want to change now? Is this something you want to change now? And they're either going to say yes or no, right? And so if they say no, there is no closing. There's more curiosity building with really smart questions to understand where they are and to perhaps incubate the lead for a later time. So that's a really great binary question. So the first one, what prompted you to contact, what prompted you to chat with us today? What's changed in your business that makes now the time you wanted to talk to us of all the things you could be doing? And let that go on. And then another key question when we talk about the close, a great binary question is this something you want to change now? So this, again, we're wearing our consultant hat and our guide hat now. And then if they answer yes to that question, we're now going to switch our hat and we're going to start to put on our project management hat.
Yeah, so there could be a range of answers to that question. Is this something you want to change now? Obviously, they could say no, but chances are they're not going to say no. The other option is probably something like, well, maybe in the next 2 weeks or the next 2 months or the next 6 months. How would you respond to that, Josh?
Yeah, so if they say the next, let's say they say, you know, we're looking to do this in the next quarter, I might say, what would be different next quarter as opposed to today? Well, we're not getting any budget for anything like this until next quarter. And that is a perfectly reasonable and truthful statement, at which case this is a lead that I would incubate and come back to when the timing is better. So much of this is getting to the truth. And the truth might be that this deal isn't ready to close right now. The truth may also be that they are looking to do something within the next 30 days. And we want to know that very early on in the sales cycle, because when we don't, we end up in this land of hopium, hoping that deals close, and we end up with pipelines that are all gunked up.
Well, so let's take the example of someone saying, yes, I do want to change this now. Now is the perfect time. What would kind of be your next step? You mentioned something about being a project manager. I'm not really clear on that.
Yeah, so now let's take off our consultant hat, right? So now we've identified that there are some triggers and events that ladder back up to how we might be able to help, and it's something they want to change now. I then might say to them, when might you want to start realizing the benefits of what we can offer you? Is that something that you want to start seeing in a month from now or 2 months from now or 3 months from now? And what I'm doing in the back of my head as a project manager, because I've been to this rodeo before, especially on the enterprise sale, is I'm going to then create a series of steps that we're going to have their buy-in on that's going to be able to get them to that date. So just at a high level, project manager role is me being able to understand when they want to launch or when they want to start realizing the benefits, and then backing out from there when certain things have to happen. When I say certain things, I mean when they have to make a decision, when the contract has to be signed. And so by being able to get to a date, as our anchor in terms of when they want to start realizing the benefits or when they want to launch. That's going to be our anchor at which we're going to be able to start to put stakes in the ground to be able to accelerate the close, which we could start to talk about a little bit further. But I want to just pause here, Liston, and see, you know, how this sounds so far.
This sounds great. And, you know, you know this about me, and certainly we're a little bit different in this way, but I think in spreadsheets. And it would be, to me, if I'm talking to someone in a sales relationship and they're giving me a plan, for me, all of a sudden, it becomes much more real and tangible in that moment. Now I can see, I can start to imagine on what date does what need to happen, which conversations do I need to have, who's involved, you know, how soon can I expect a return or a transformation that's going to happen for me as a result of this sale. Do you see that it has that kind of effect?
That's a great point that I didn't consider, but it's almost like a little bit like of the IKEA effect, right? Because I'm involved in making this project plan as well. I'm sort of bought into it. And now I can start to use it to drive the sale forward. The other key thing that happens here in terms of sales acceleration or being able to steer and hopefully help the prospect put a little bit more foot on the gas is another really key question. So say now you're in the sale and you're negotiating and you're zeroing in on the price and you're having concessions and you go from $100,000 to $80,000 and you've given and they've given and we're at a happy place. Another key question here is, and we'll just role play this, Liston. Hey, Liston, when do you think you might be able to get this contract signed? Did that be like a couple weeks from now, a month from now? What are you thinking?
Within about 3 weeks.
So that would be like September, October, November, actually 3 weeks. That'd be December 14th-ish?
14th? Sure. Yeah, that sounds good.
And bam, that is a very key date because, again, that is an anchor date at which we are going to anchor the prospect against the concessions we made contractually. So in the contract now, we'll say something like the concessions that we're making, which are X, Y, and Z, are contingent on this contract being signed by December 14th. And what's going to happen then with that contract is it's going to get prioritized in procurement. Again, if you're selling an enterprise, you know, software, over other contracts that don't have date contingencies. And because there's been so much buy-in along the way of concessions, and because we have a project plan and people are so bought in, we have a little teeth to it. Now, obviously, if this slips a couple days, it's not a big deal. But if it starts to slip beyond that, the sales professional is in a position to be able to walk away from the deal, which I would do and have done when deals are, you know, getting, you know, past the 2, 3, 4 day mark. And it's amazing how quickly things can accelerate when the concessions that they've made and concessions that we made, they feel like getting a good deal. They want to achieve their results by a certain date. All these things have been happening for 3, 4 months. This has a very fast way of being able to get prioritized in front of other things that are procurement, because the sales rep and legal is like, we got to get this pushed through because we have a time sensitive date here before this expires.
Yeah, that's great advice. Now, I do want to go back to something that you mentioned. So let's say you ask me, is this something you'd like to change now? I say, yes, this is the right time to do it. We know that from a sales standpoint, the next step would be to create that project plan. But tell me how, once I say, yes, I'd like to change it now, how do you then transition into that project management role?
Yeah, so we also we're assuming that we're talking to someone, or we've also asked the other question, which is very important, which is this something you have the authority to purchase, or who else other than you is responsible for wrangling this in? Because what we don't want to do is be that sales rep that we're talking to someone that wants the shiny thing but doesn't have any authority to buy it. That's happened to me a lot. So assuming we have visibility into that person, you know when you're selling something that there's 6 or 7 steps. So I might say, hey, you know, would you be open to me creating a little project plan for you so you could see all the things that have to happen to be able to help you achieve the results you want on this date? Is that something you'd be open to? And, you know, how do you say sort of no to that? They might say, what do you mean by that? Well, here's what it looks like. And the first thing we need to do is get this over to IT and get them to do a technical review of the statement of work. And that typically takes about 2 weeks. And then after that, we need this to go to your procurement department, because that typically takes a week. A lot of times sales reps don't understand that the buyer might not know all these steps internally, especially if they're new, but you've been to the rodeo before and you've sold these things and you know all the steps. So being able to help guide the buyer through their organization is something that you can either do collaboratively, or if they're new, you can make a suggested and show them a suggested project plan based on other clients that you've worked with.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So now we're in the step where we've created the project plan, we've laid it out, everyone knows exactly what they need to do. We've made concessions, they've made concessions, we have a final date. It sounds like the last step here really is getting that final sign-off, getting the signed contract. Now, if you find that that's challenging, or maybe they start to go cold towards the end, what are some steps you might take there?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about this, but this contract now has teeth because all the concessions and the deal is contingent on the date, signature date. And so I would ask legal to put in the contract language to the effect that this deal is contingent on an executed agreement happening by December 22. Now, obviously, if the rep calls you and be like, it's going to happen tomorrow, or it's a day or two late, it's not a problem. But if it starts to slip beyond that, I kill the deal. If it slips between that, between a week or a week and a half, I kill the deal. And chances are when you do that, you missed it. If it comes to that, you probably missed one of these steps we've been talking about in the beginning, which is why it might come to that. But if you haven't and you walk away, there probably wasn't a deal there to be had anyway.
So are you saying that if you see the deal or the contract date is approaching, say, a day or two away, you're not getting a response from the person, you wouldn't take any steps, you'd be willing to walk away at that point?
No, if the prospect is saying, you know what, they're a little backed up, it's going to be another couple days, and I'm hearing from the prospect, the pulse, I'm okay with it. If I don't hear back and it's been a week and a half to 2 weeks, and I'm still getting, we can't get to it. I say, it's not a problem. We just have to take away the concessions and sort of start a little bit over again, because the deal that we had agreed to is no longer valid.
Excellent. Well, I think that you have solved all of the closing problems for people at this point.
Sure.
End of story. You don't need any of our training. So, Josh, we talked a little bit about how the buyer is basically the driver and the salesperson is the navigator of the car.
Wait. The salesperson gets to step on the gas. No. Wait, what did we say?
No.
Prospect steps on the gas.
That's exactly the opposite of what we said, actually.
Prospect steps on the gas and the salesperson helps navigate.
Correct. Right. I think I said that.
You said the prospect navigates. You'll play it back and you'll see.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah. We can bear this out to the fans listening to this.
When we say fans, for clarity, we're talking about who? Ryan.
Well, in this case, we're talking about Ryan. But, right. You know, there's more than just Ryan who listened to this, I promise you. And so one thing you need to keep in mind, obviously, is how you open and progress through the sale. So a few questions that Josh threw out there that you should really write down or just think about actively. One is, what prompted you to reach out? So that's a question you would ask early on. Is this something you'd like to change now? Gets commitment to move forward. Is this something you have authority to buy? That's a huge one. So you make sure you're involving the right people at that stage. And also, of course, would you be open to me creating a project plan for you so you can start to make it more real?
And I think finally the big one there too is when can you commit to getting this signed?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think that is huge, because that binds the end of the deal. All right, Josh. Well, did we miss anything?
Listen, as always, we've covered it all.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Josh. Till next time.
Thank you, Listen. Have a good one.